Right today, I'm going to have the word. First service was unique. Who was here? Hallelujah. And this sermon is called "Generation Who Is Crippled on Both Knees," stumbling on both knees. We live in a time where it is mandatory. We need to change destinies of lives. We need revolution. We need reformation. We cannot live like this no more. We are on the 21st century when there's more and more. Our generation is taken over under their paws, and the church gets weaker and weaker every year. You understand what I'm talking about? It becomes helpless and helpless. It cannot help or even answer the needs of our generation. It's a dead crowd, dead doctrine, dead life that never was able to help anyone. And that's why we preach to destroy. When I preach, you need to understand that I don't only preach to you. These sermons go so far that we're only going to find out in heaven how far they go. And we need to understand that right now I'm not preaching into my church. Right now, God gave us the voice to scream around the whole world, we are going to use the opportunity. If God gave us the media to use, we're going to do it. This is our strength. And this is our strength. And today we're going to talk about our generation. How can we move farther, save this world, when the Christianity that we live in is not reformed? This is a joke. To save the world and do not even have a place where to accept the world in. My beloved ones, I'm telling you honestly, when I preach in this church, yeah, we move forward. It's really pleasant here. We have blessings. We grow. We move. It is pleasant to be in this church because we made a choice and pulled ourselves out of the religion. But what about the millions of souls that are till this day are in slavery? Somebody has to extend their hand to them. Somebody has to help them. Somebody has to speak for them. Let it be me to be this person and you to be this person. And I will speak for those who cannot speak. I will speak instead of those who don't have the opportunity to declare it the boldly the way I declare it. I will do this until I live and until I breathe. Because this is what God called me to do in this world, is to change the mentality of our nation. And when we change the mentality, everything will change. I don't need to go into some countries and do some certain things. All I need to do is just enough television channels to influence into my nation. God gave us the revelation in this church. We do not look like others. Why? You know why? Because we don't only care about us, and this makes us look different. Other people would have just relaxed. Everything's growing. Everything's fine. Just shut up and just be quiet. Chill on the couch and enjoy your day, like they say. Just enjoy. Everything's fine. You let the car, you let the engine go, but everything's cool. No, it's not cool. We need to understand that the harvest of this world cannot be collected by 20 churches, amen, who walk in the fire. Okay, let's say we fit 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. 300,000 sometimes doesn't even fit into any pastor's mind. But that's a couple cities, right? Okay. What about 6 billion people? Where are they going to fit into? We need to understand we're not here to think that we're going to take the world. We need to prepare tons of churches, deliver the minds for them to be able to accept the whole world. We need to understand that we can only accept a part of the harvest, and we cannot influence the world if we can only collect the harvest, but the rest is going to be dying out. We need to get to the minds of our generation and our nation that not only us can be involved, but everyone can be used by God. But how can God give us the world if we're not even capable of accepting these people, not even speaking about being able to listen to them and hear them. How can he open up the doors? And we're praying, God save the world. And some punk comes in here with some kind of earrings, with 250 earrings, and God knows where they're at. Oh, how terrible. Take him out of this church. He is tempting the people. But maybe the revival will start from him. And the hope of God for your church, you're just kicking him out. You need to understand, when we open our doors to the world is going to be coming the way he is, the way it is. People are not going to ask you how high your skirt is. Maybe they come without a skirt. Maybe it's something that you can't even call a skirt. We need to understand that we need to accept, open the door. Because God loved the world. Not Christianity, not reborn again people. He loved drug addicts, alcoholics. He loved the worst and everything that's been buried into the by religion. Because he said, for so God loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I'm ready to accept the world. Nobody's going to tempt me in this church. Not even a skirt or some punk with a rooster-looking hairstyle. We need to understand that we need to open the doors to accept the world. And if you have enough influence, he is going to change his clothes and his understanding and his way of life. But the first thing, he has to find a place here. How? Church has to learn how to accept. Amen? First, we need to learn to accept the world the way it is. Whether it smells like smoke, we're halfway sober. We need to learn to love the world and not to care, because for he loved the world. If we want to look like him, if we want to be like him, then there's a test for you. We need to understand that God, he is not a narrow personality like us, narrowly focused. Until you get into this image, don't even go to church. That is not church. That's just a club of happy people where they have their own jokes and their own fun. That is not a hospital. We need to understand that church is a huge hospital where there is a place where people die. There's going to be people who barely came in, emergency. There's going to be people who are almost ready to go, and people who are going through a process. A church is a huge hospital. We have lots of different rooms, lots of different sometimes there's no hope for people. We have rooms like that, and this guy's not going to make it. We need to understand that God has all spheres and levels that we need to understand. And you can say, our hospital only concentrated on people who are stung by a snake. Or our hospital is only concentrated on who was bitten by a dog. You know, there's going to be, it's rarely somebody's going to come into this hospital. Our church is so far that you can't even bring people who are stung. Only bring into our hospital fresh, normal, healthy people. What's the point of having a hospital? Or to even be a hospital if everybody's normal and fine and healthy? Let's say, oh, somebody took off. So what? Somebody got drunk. Somebody flipped the way they shouldn't have flipped. And they say, Pastor, what should we do? Nothing. We need to take them back into the room and pray for them. Everybody flips and swims and somebody falls off. Our job is to work until he receive a full freedom, amen? The full freedom, amen? It takes a year, good. 10 years, oh, so what? What are we going to do? We're going to work. It doesn't always happen so fast with everybody. I don't understand. What am I going to say? You know, you have this much time till you stop smoking or whatever. Oh, well. The most important is for him to be accepted and to be taken. And he's going to be around the right people. We're not going to judge him. The Holy Spirit is going to deliver him slowly. Amen? Give people to God, finally. maybe God will be able to take care of their problems. Our brotherhood cannot handle it. They just throw them out of the church. They have the church divided. It's either you're alive or you're just thrown out. It's either you throw them out so other people aren't tempted. Everything's done real quick. He's still blinking his eyes, moving his hands. They say, sorry, doctor said you got to go. We need to understand that God is not narrowly focused. When I see pastors of churches and they would conquer the world and they put the globe right there and it, I just want to laugh my head off. God gives us a sphere of influence. He cannot give you or me a whole world. You will crap your pants. Just a simple to for you to understand. You will never take over the globus. The whole, throw away this map and start caring about those people around you. 2nd service is more happy, more joyful. Hallelujah. Weird sermons, but what can you do? Sometimes a pastor explains for half an hour. I can say it in one phrase, just quicker. Somebody screams, we will take over. I just want to laugh. No one, not me, nobody can conquer everything. God gives us a sphere of influence. A certain amount of people for us to collect the harvest. We need to, for all churches to start moving and influence the hearts and the hearts of pastors into our nation for something to change. Amen? For people to start raising up, you got to start raising others and the harvest will start coming into their churches, into their lives. They're ready to take over the world. We're going to the story of Elijah. Elijah and Elizabeth and the king Ahab. These three personalities. They had a couple conflicts, if you can remember, about the rain, the sacrifice, and everything else. We're going to go deeper into this story. In this story, we're going to understand how is the rain going to come into this land. With one word, by one word of Elijah, the rain came. I'm tired of the dryness. I want the rain to come. Amen? And you'll say, how can you want this? Nobody else wants it, so I'm the only one who wants it. And do you guys want the rain to come? Oh, three more people who want the same thing as I do. And this way, we're going to be doing this more and more because we want the rain, because we are tired of just sitting there and being dumb in the head and thinking we can do everything. We cannot do everything, anything without God. Until He gives you a little sphere of influence, thank Him. When He finds you faithful, He'll give you three people more. That's how I want it. And then I'll explain to you how you're going to go get to this. Remember, I was explaining, people said, they came to me and said, Pastor, pray to me, I want your anointing. And I got tired of it. And I said, what my anointing cost, and all the prayers stopped. I said, you want double the portion? I said, oh, God, I want to cry for you. Because for me, I have one portion, and I could barely crawl to my calling. I had to be betrayed and all this junk. I had to go through 12 years of a mess, no success. I said, you'll get it three times. That's it. No more prayers like that. Nobody wants me to pray for. We need to understand that everything in this life costs. You want a good car? You're going to be paying good money. You want a slug bug? You'll be paying the same. Everything is balanced in the world. If you see a sermon that's hitting you, because that means somebody had to pay for this sermon. Nothing falls down from the ceiling. quit being lied to. You will, whatever you pay, that's what you'll carry out. And I bless you. That's why we need to understand these things. We'll go into the story. We'll read about Ahab. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. Chapter 16, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ithabal, king of the Sidonians. And God commanded them to destroy the Sidonians, and Solomon was getting married to these people. We'll read a little bit later about him. So he married Jezebel, daughter of Isabel, king of Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made. And let's read about Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11, from 1 to 3. King Solomon, who had loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. I wanted to give you the understanding of the picture that I'm going to draw for you. The church right now is married to Elizabeth. What is Elizabeth? Elizabeth is a spirit of control, spirit of religion, what's called religion. There's a spirit of Elizabeth. This is a straight religion. That is what does not allow you to breathe, to live, because someone doesn't think the way you think and will not let you think any other way. Elizabeth, even though was a woman, and in the kingdom, when a woman is a king, she does not have authority. We remember other things. Only kings had authority. In this case, Elizabeth totally just stomped her man, husband. He had no voice. Well, could he not stand up and do something, my beloved ones? No, he was not fighting with a woman. He was fighting with the spirit of Elizabeth. He was fighting with the monster. And from this was the first spirit Elizabeth and control was birthed from. We need to understand the church is married to Elizabeth. And until we don't say goodbye to these things, I'm not talking about our church. If you need to understand what I'm talking about, I am not talking about us. I like you guys. I like what we do. But I'm telling you, if you think about it, we will never collect the harvest if we don't influence everyone else, if we do not carry out to what God told us to do, and eyes of people don't open up that the God that they gave us, that we inherited, is dead. It did not do anything in my life. I simply served what I did not know. I know what I'm talking about. I was born in Christianity, and my whole life, they told me, "You're a Christian." I was not a Christian. They told me, "Everything is fine." A lot of people born in the church, they don't even think they should repent, because they say, "We were born here." You do not inherit and become the son or a daughter of God. You have to be reborn again. You have to be with him. Let's keep reading. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings 17:1. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, will be neither dew nor rain in the next few days except at my word." Can you imagine the boldness? He came to the king and said, "There's going to be no rain. That's it. Until I say so." Oh, and then the story starts turning around so that the rain could not pour until all the idols were destroyed, till the altar was restored and the mentality of the nation was changed. And that is why I am not fighting. People say, "You're preaching against our people. It's funny to preach against some pastor." I am not fighting against the pastor. That's childhood. I am fighting a monster of Elizabeth. My warfare is not against some church. That's funny to think that. It looks so childish. We need to understand that we are fighting with a monster who was holding millions of minds. And these are souls that we're fighting for. Souls that the devil lied to. And he made the people who see, he made them blind. That's what I preach against. That's why people run into my sermons and their mind changes. Because it's not me speaking this, but he speaks through me. You want to walk in the anointing? Then open your mouth and start telling the truth. You know it. You're just afraid to say. That's all. I'm not afraid. That's absolutely. First thing that religion cannot do is to do some kind of a damage or evil to you. We'll do this, we'll do that. All they can do is to lie and talk. That's it. They can't do nothing else. Take a look at me. The most cursed by the religious world person. Every day, anointing is growing more and more. Success is coming more seriously and seriously. And when they called me not too long ago, I say, "Our brotherhood got together and we're fasting for you, for everything to break apart for you." And the anointing is coming out more and more. I said, "Keep praying for me." Let the Baptists connect also to this prayer. So that I can become even more stronger. It's like I came out here by myself and talking about this. If you have brains and you know Jesus at least a little bit, you'll ask him a question and he'll tell you who I am. My God. We will stop you. Oh, I can't even stop myself. Somebody stop me. Somebody please help. I can't. I just take off and I go. We need to understand. Oh, you don't preach the way I should be. So how else should I preach to be able to get through to you? Your skull is so thick that I don't know what kind of bullets to load up in order to crack the skull. That's why God put me such a weird person, at least so people would notice me. Do not listen to Shapovalov. Every religious person has my CDs in their car. People are buying thousands of CDs and boxes. They're all, where are they going? They're going where they're supposed to go. He's preaching against our church. What's your church got to do with this? I'm talking about a spirit, about the monster that's holding everybody. And partially us. I don't know. Take myself out of this. We are all in the same mess. Simply, I walked to the side and said, "I don't want this, but me, I cannot live and be sustained until the whole society is changed." Amen? I cannot move farther with tons of big plans. We will not be able to take all the harvest. We need all the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the New Generation Church, the charismatic people. We need everyone. There's tons of harvest. God has work for everyone. That you don't understand me, that proves about your narrowness of your mind. If you don't understand me, that's it. Woo! That's how it is. Let's keep reading. Until everything old is going to be taken off and thrown off, everything that's dead. We cannot move. Every day we pray for our relatives. We don't call him anything. I don't care about denominations. We're fighting a monster of Elizabeth called the spirit of religion that ate, whether you want it or not. Every one of you, if you even touch God a little bit, there's people, relatives, people close to you who have been ate by this monster. You hear me? And some people were ate so bad that you probably need to turn him off. He doesn't understand anything anymore. He's just stuck with his antlers against the ground. He can't move. Have you ever thought about it? Maybe you are wrong about God. Us, the Slavic people, we have this kind of dumbness. We all think that we're all right. Not everyone can be right. Hello? Somebody's got to be wrong. Oh, no, we're all right. No, he's wrong. He's wrong. And there's tons of smart people, and they all think that everyone's wrong. We're all in trouble. Until we walk to the side and see the picture, stop croaking in your chicken house. Walk to the side and see what's going on from the position of God. We're all dead. Our youth is our future. 90% is going to hell. There are jails and all this dirt, and we're crying over that. All we do every day is we bury, either physically or spiritually, we bury our generation. Someone has to stand up and say the truth, no matter how it sounds, no matter how weird you're going to look at me. God did not give you the voice. He gave me the voice. I don't see you on CNL. You see me. That means I have something that needs to be said. And I have enough boldness to say this. And you can just keep learning how to do it. Maybe when you have enough boldness one day, God will start using you. Well, let's read about this. We're thinking, where am I at? Yeah, exactly where you did not expect to end up. But you think this is just the church? Sorry. You did not get to the place you thought you were getting. And we'll go into the story. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to go deeper and to see what happened before the rain poured. What happened before the glory of God came down? We all want the rain. And I said, Lord, what should I do, pray and fast? God says, no. I says, what should I do to change the nation? He says, speak. God told me the importance of the word. You don't even understand what I say now. Word, 1 hour is capable, if it gets into the right hands at the right time, it's capable to change everything. And you don't even need fasting and praying, because everything was created by the word. You hear me? Everything is destroyed by the word, and everything is built by the word. And Elijah did not, all he had to do was say, there's not going to be any rain, and then said, there is going to be rain. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, Is that you, you troubler of Israel? They were seeking him for years in the whole kingdom. And Elijah was so just bold that he said, I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. This is an anointed guy just wearing junky clothes and just tells these words to the king. Do not be afraid to tell whoever. Because no matter who you are, all these positions that they have, that has no meanings. The meaning, what makes a difference is the Spirit of God. People who understood this, thank God. Because when it comes out of you, it's coming from Him. And I'm not going to change my style in order for somebody to hear me. Me is who they hear because of my style. Because those kind of, they ate all kinds of stuff, but nothing like this. One time they emailed me, "You're worse than Alexei Ledyayev." I was like, "Wow, what a measurement! What did they write him off? If you're worse than Alexei Ledyayev, Alexei, that they already pretty much wrote him off and said he belongs to hell. And they said I'm worse." And tell me when to be afraid. Let's keep reading. "But you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commandments and have followed the Baals. I am tired of what they say. Devil's doing all this. Devil's doing this. Devil's doing this. Satan's preaching. Satan's healing. Everything is done by the devil. I say, if I have the devil, then show me your God that is better than the devil. Amen? If you don't have nothing, then shut up and just watch carefully." Sorry, last sermon. I have to put everything out this year. Everything that collected in the whole year. If you have a live God and you're telling me the devil is working here, that you have to show me your God, like Elijah, that proved to everybody in front of everybody where God is and who has the live God. If not, then shut up and you cannot do nothing about it because you don't even have the power to resist what God is doing. Amen? If God puts the words into your mouth and gives you the platform, use it because that's your chance to say. Some people say, "Why is your sermon? There's always something to listen to." I say, "What is it supposed to be less to listen to?" Because I preach like it's my last sermon. I have to put everything into it, everything that I understood for that moment. Live the way it's like it's your last day, and your every day will be successful. For every day to be successful, live it like it's the last one. For you to come out beautiful. Come out the game. I don't care how you got into the game. I care about how you get out of the game. And it's hard to look at some people when they walk out. Terrible sickness, terrible torments, that is not from God. Verse 19, "Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him." You can't even imagine right now, church, how many thousands of people listen and hear and know us, but they're all quiet. They're all silent because Elizabeth controls your mouth, because Elizabeth controls your spirit. But I believe that you have something left from God to stand up against this, for you to declare, not just in your little notebook, but into your nation. And when you declare into your nation, you will be seen and heard. My beloved ones, I am a living proof without any kind of seminars and all kinds of laying hands and all this stuff that they make you. And God can use in such an anointing that all the people who, all the Bible schools, did not even dream about, because your minds have nothing in common with your spirit. If you give the Holy Spirit a chance to work in you, then you will see what's going to be happening with you. I don't understand it. I don't understand myself. That's why I just keep doing it. We'll understand it in heaven. Everything will be clear up there. So Ahab sent a word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it into the wood, but not set the fire on it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set the fire on it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the prophets said, "The God who answers with fire, that is God. When I say, your mind might not be able to understand, but your spirit might become on fire, because what I say to you, it's in the fire of the Holy Spirit. I cannot have any more. I don't have any more gifts. My gift is the word to put in you. I might not even touch you, but change your whole life. You hear me? Because the word is not my word. My word will not change you. My word will not change anybody. My word can't even change me. But when he starts speaking through you, not only do you change, but everyone who's listening to you. The word fired God. The answers with fire. Our God, he answers with fire. You hear, you feel that something inside you is burning. Something is on fire. Your spirit knows the voice of God, of the Father. Your spirit knows where it's something fake in God. When you have hatred then towards me, you are of another spirit and you need deliverance. I know it. The same as the Word of God. The Pharisees were always... How do all the religious people know that I'm talking about them? I don't even know their names. Everybody finds themselves. But if you found yourself, then the sermon is directly to you. I feel shameful for these pastors who come out and say, "I apologize for the whole church." Have enough boldness to tell the truth and go up there and speak for your words. If you can't do that, then let somebody else do it who can stand for their word. That's why there's so many preachers, five in a row, nothing to listen to. Because nobody called them. They just want to tell you the word. When God puts you in your place, no one will be able to resist what he's speaking through you. You can cry, you can jump, I don't care. I am not going to apologize. I know exactly who sent me and who put me here for what goal. Because we're all going to be responsible in front of God. Everyone, me, you, everyone. You know, when you close into your private room, what kind of relationship you have with him, and that decides who you are, not how much junk you have in your mind, in your brains, and who put their hands on you. That's all childhood and religious childhood. Behind me is God. And I still drive a tank. I like my tank. I started up again today. Verse 25. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you." There's a lot of them. "Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given to them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. Surprise, huh? If the Lord is your God, then show me in your church, in your life, show me God. You don't need to 70 years ago we had something. 70 years ago there was all kinds of stuff. Show me your God right now. Show me what He does in your life right now. How powerful He moves in your life today. Show me. If not, then you don't know Him. I show you my God. I get on the stage for a whole hour. I show you my stage through the gift that He gave me. When I come up here, people don't believe in Andre. This is just a shell. You know what an Andre is? Andre is up there on a jet ski with a barbecue and drinking tea. That's Andre. Here, I just fulfill my mission in this world, and I'm going to be responsible in front of God about what I do. And you're going to do the same thing. You're going to be responsible for what you're doing. So be careful in with what God called you to do. If your God is alive, show me Him. I am tired of dead, smelly dead, where everything is dead. People are asleep. There's no life. There's no success and progress. And you call this my life, God? That's a lie from hell. That is a junk from religious Elizabeth. There is people there seeking God, but God is not there. Listen to it the way you want to listen to it. For some people, it is hard, but I'm sure you'll last till the end of the service. We're going to pray. And they danced around the altar and they had made that. They're probably charismatics. Huh? At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. You don't think God has a sense of humor? He makes fun of the dead Elizabeth. It only influences people who allow it to influence them. How does it control? You can take a step back and her control stops in your life once and for all. Everything is real simple. This spirit holds tons, but people get delivered from them by one of my CDs, one little book. That's it. Your mind is open. I want the God is alive. The way we hear the testimony. One sermon, that's it. Everything has changed. The person will never be the same. Never. God has done something. If somebody says something, devil, get into their face and say, show me your God. You're smart. You know the Bible. You finished school. Show me God. God, show me God. But He's invisible. Elisha had a visible God. Amen? Very visible. In the desert, He was very visible. Here in our churches at Encounter, He's very visible. Amen? And nobody can say, oh, guys came to drink the tea by the fireplace. No. Person comes and leaves totally different. Why? Because not I change him, but God changes him because He wants to do this and He does it. Amen? Let's keep reading. I am just pleased by Ilya. He was just making fun of him. One guy, everyone is enemies and are ready to tear him apart because there's no rain. But they can't kill him because somebody has to turn the rain on. Oh, they can't do nothing because he turned off the they want to drink. Imagine how much water was poured on the altar where there was nothing to drink. And there was two calves when they were eating horse food. Imagine what it was like in Israel. I don't want to get into get into details. From one sermon, I get in the car and I write three more. In the middle of my sermon, God opens up more sermons to me. Just to be pleased by Elijah. Oh, you're laughing at our brotherhood? Yes. Because it's dead. And it can't do nothing. Yell louder. Fast more. Maybe your God fell asleep? Keep listening. That's how I am. At noon, Elijah could not handle it. He was maybe playing, doing push-ups. He's playing Nintendo. He was just like, everything you can do is already, the whole day went by. Elijah couldn't handle it. An anointed person started telling the truth. He began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping, and it must be awakened. Can you imagine? Yeah, I'm laughing, because what you have is dead, and I want to pull you out of that mess quicker. Maybe this is something that will just sober you up. Our Russians have such a thick skull. I don't know what kind of bombs I need to throw in there to even make a little crack in it, for some light to get in there. Maybe it will crack a little bit. Okay. When I read the Bible, I'm just pleased. When I read the Bible, I see pictures. I see a movie. I read the Bible. It's like watching a movie. I see how prophets are just like jumping around and stabbing themselves, and Elijah's laughing at them. Elijah knows who he serves. They want to prove that they have God. 70 years. Are you not sick of it? Our whole generation is playing a game of Christianity. You're going to preach? No, I don't have any words. Okay, we'll take you off, put somebody else. We choose, hallelujah, we vote. What kind of voting? Did God put you there? You can vote all you want, but if God's not there, you can do whatever you want. Nothing's going to change. I said, maybe he's asleep and must be awakened. And these dumb people, they started screaming louder. It's like, and they shouted louder. And slashed themselves with swords and spears as their custom. That's what religion does. You have to die. You have to rot in fasting and humbleness. It's the lie of the devil. You have to look good and fast when you need to fast. Amen? And fast as much as he tells you to fast. We need to know when to load and when to put in the gun and when to unload, when to shoot. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears and their custom until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice. Prophesying. Yeah, the English translation says that it says prophesying. Our translation says that they were possessed. they should have wrote. Well, how many prophets? They were always prophesying. Where are we going? Well, God is taking their people out. No, he's not going. I just want to laugh. It's all Elizabeth's religious junk. Forget about all this. When God is moving, your spirit will feel him. And we're trying to always locate God with our big ears. Everybody, there's a prophecy. Everybody's going to Florida. You know what's happening over there? Everybody's trying to run from there now. All the businesses are going down. Everything's... Why? Because there was no God there. There was just... The land started going up, and people who did their thing... Everybody needs money, right? Let's take a look. It says they were prophesying or until the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. We need to restore the altar of the Lord. This is a clean walk in front of him, holiness and his glory and miracles and signs of and resurrection and healing from the sickness. You hear me? Everything has to be restored until before the sacrifice is even laid. We're in a process of restoring right now, of reformation. People say, how much time is it going to take? I don't care if it takes my whole life. I'm ready for the sacrifice. I like to serve God. And I want to see what Elizabeth did to us. I want to see this destroyed. For God, that was not God, would just be put to shame, because these are not God. These are people who made up God and how to worship Him. There is no God. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me," and they repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones. Oh, weird. Why you guys have 12? 12. Did you ask Jesus why he had 12 disciples? Why do you need 12 disciples? What? Why do I have 12 on my watch? Why do I need 12 months in a year? 12 altars, 12 parts of Israel. This is not something holy. It's a structure of governing time, governing the year, governing Israel, governing the church, governing of home cell groups, 12 disciples. I just want you guys to understand, this is just fulfilling God's idea. You can grow the way you want to grow, but I want to have the right kind of altar, just the right one, with all the miracles, with my 12 disciples, because we all want to be like Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a, some people say G12, well, it's a false. If Jesus did not raise up his own 12, we wouldn't even know. Nobody would even write about it. For some people, it might not be important, but for me, it's really important because I want the whole truth. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Jesus needed to be baptized. What? Where are you guys off your rocker? By John? Because you have to do all the truth, the whole truth. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 sacks of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it 3rd time," he ordered, and they did it the 3rd time. This just reminded me one interesting thing. Why did they put water on it? Because it's the Word of God. We always water everything. We water everything. And pretty soon the fire is going to come down. We'll water so hard that they always told me, people like you do not live through it. We need to understand, God has His own time. He's not going to ask you who to use, who He's going to use. Amen? He's not going to ask us. If He wants to use, He can use a child. A donkey will come in here and give you such a sermon that you'll say, "Oh, I want to be a member of this donkey's church." We need to understand that God does what He wants. A donkey is a donkey. If it's a Shapovalov, then it's a Shapovalov. Most important is for God's Word to be there. Amen? We have to look good in front of all this. You can't see me on tapes, huh? Thank God. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Everything we have to do, we do not bring the fire, but we prepare everything. We pour the water, we build the altar, we put the sacrifice on it, and walk aside, step aside. Amen? We want to see the fire and the glory of God. We want to see the rain. We just need to restore the altar, put the sacrifice on it, and then we'll see what's going to start happening in our nation. We're just starting. We're starting to see what God is doing. People say, big preachers, do you know by these preachers? Because there hasn't been anyone bigger who came. Amen? God, in the last days, is going to be raising up such a spiritual monsters that you're going to be in shock. And all the big preachers will look like children compared to them. I've seen a prophecy of David Wilkerson. He said, there's going to be people raising up. All the people who on the platform at that time who were considered huge anointed people, they're going to look like spiritual children, and that's you. You have to say, yes, this is me, and I don't care what you think about me. I love myself, and I consider myself the bride of Christ. Let's keep reading. Do you like the story? You probably never read it before. I'm sure you have a story in front of your mind right now with the three series. It's already finishing up over here. Sorry, guys. I'm swimming in my own over here. Amen. Let's read the prayer of Elijah. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. All you have to do is simply obey his word. Simply listen. Say, yes, Lord, I will do it. Because I know the glory of God comes to the obedient, not the smart, not people who know so much, just obedient. If you're obedient, you will receive. Simply obedient. You know, parents that love their children the most, they don't love the smartest children. They love the obedient people the most. The daughter that always helps, and all the bad ones are always bad. You got to be obedient. Well, sometimes you could be obedient and bad. I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. So he done everything by the word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and you are turning their hearts back again. My dream is for the hearts of my nation to be turned to God, and I'm dreaming that more people are going to be raised up who are be going, they're going to be going places and spreading. And while before we finish this life, we're going to change something in our nation. Amen. Our city, our state is a little. We all know this, but why not raise up other churches? Why not influence into our generation, and through them we collect the harvest? None of you need to think, you guys should not think that we can collect all the harvest. All the churches, all the people are involved in this harvest, and God will give you the part that you are worthy of collecting. Real simple. Let's take a look. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When God works, he's going to work to where people won't even understand how the rocks burn. I can see the water evaporates. How do the stones burn? If when God's fire comes down, everything's going to burn. Seeing this, the whole nation fell on their face and said, then the fire of the Lord. Elijah was smart. He saw that it was smelling good. ball didn't help, so we got to run. So he tells him to catch him, catch all of them. Then all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, and the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal, don't let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah and them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. Well, we must scream until we're screamed far enough to get to them. If you don't want to be a part of this, you have two choices, to be a part of this or just be a watcher. To be a watcher or be the one who is involved and moves. That's why I know that a lot of people say, oh, I wish I wasn't there at the beginning. Thank God that you are here, because every one of you has a big future. I know this. I've seen this. I'm not a prophet, but when God showed me this, I know that every one of you will be conquerors of a huge caliber, people with a huge influence, those of you who want it, those of you who will realize this and accept this calling and say, this is me. I am joining the army of God, the army of Christ. God's going to be doing huge miracles. I understand. We are created by the image and the likeness of God. And for what God takes 1 minute, 1 minute to do something, but for us it might take a whole lifetime to take, because we live fighting the devil and sometimes fighting our own flesh. So that's why our word has influence, it has actions, but for us it might take a little bit longer than it takes for God. Do not let any of this disappoint you. Our war just started, our battle just started, and we will see what God's going to do before we leave this place. I want to leave this place as a conqueror. How about you? I want to leave this planet as a conqueror. Verse 43, so 2 Kings. I'm just going to repeat this. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Did you take in something for yourself? Let this little be a little sermon. We're transferring into the new year, but in 2008, we're waiting for something totally different than 2008. Get ready. It's a year of influence, and you will see what God's going to be doing. Let God bless you. Let's all stand up. Let's worship Him. Let's just glorify Him and thank Him for what He does. Thank Him for the last year. Tell Him, thank you. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We believe, Lord, that we will reach the hearts of our generation. We will reach the hearts of our nation. We will reach what you gave us to reach. You gave us the voice. You gave us the tools. We're going to do everything possible to see your glory in our nation. We're going to do everything possible to see your fire among our people, no matter what it costs us, how it's going to cost. We are those who decided to walk to the end. We don't have a choice. We don't have another plan. We are those who decided to go to the finish line. We thank you for the success that we had in year 2007. We are ready to accept. We are ready to work. We are ready to fast and to pray. We are ready to preach and to testify, to see our nation saved. We are thankful to you that we have a part of your blessings. We are thankful to you that we have a part of our influence. We do not take everything on ourselves. We know who takes up all the glory and who the King of all kings is. We thank you that you gave us a little corner, a little part of your glory. We thank you that we are simply a part of your bride. We do our job, dirty job, maybe sometimes a job that's not thanked for, sometimes dangerous, but we are the ones who you called and you gave us the mouth and you put the word in us, and we will speak it and we will see your church restored. We will see your church that has risen up, who's going to go in a glory. We are not going to be taken in shame. Church will be complete and conquered over the devil. The way you conquered, the same way the bride has to conquer. And we thank you, and we know that the bride will not be taken until it is the conquerors over the devil and the world, and it is spread through the whole world. We know that everyone has to hear your New Testament. We thank you, Father, and we know that you are our reward, because in you our soul is pleased and fulfilled. And I thank everyone for everyone who's here. I bless everyone who's here in the name of Jesus Christ.